Seemed like it's been a month since we've been here, but, I wanna, apologize for not having services Wednesday night, but I didn't really know what the weather was gonna do. I don't think nobody did, but, I do know that, for the safety of the people, down here, we don't have no outs, we don't have no street lights. And going out in the highway, and these transfer trucks going as fast as they going, you never know. May hit some black ice or whatever. When you hit that, you just might as well just go with the ice. There ain't a thing in the world you gonna do. But I'd rather be safe than sorry. I'd rather have everybody that could come out and be here on Sunday than to have to end up going to the emergency room or and having to go up there and see somebody in the emergency room, because there's a whole lot of people that will just go out and do it. And, we're going to be safe. We're going to drive safe as we can, but we don't know about them other nuts out here. Oh, me. Well, today we see 18th of the month. This month, January is just about already ended. It seemed like it just got started. But it goes by so fast. And I know the little ones down there that's in school, they say, it ain't going fast enough because I don't want to get out of school. Don't wish your time away. Because I tell you, once you get to 18 and out of school, it just goes so fast. And then, boy, when you hit 20, it does go fast. And then when you hit 30, it don't ever stop. It just keeps going day after day. Next day is another year. Oh, me. Well, this morning I want to bring up something this morning. I may have touched on it before, but what I want to bring up, I know we're in 2015, just starting out in 2015. But in what the Lord has spoken, and I'm going to discuss, I may discuss some of it to you Wednesday evening. Because if this Wednesday, if it's not cold, if it's not as freezing like it has been and raining and ice and all that, I hope and pray we going to have services this Wednesday night. But I think it's going to be the monthly business meeting. We've had this, I think it was supposed to be last week. But we'll have that. And then I'll discuss some things about what we would like to see to do this year, not just planning out the next couple weeks, but what we want to see done all year. And I believe the Lord's going to bless. I really do. I know He's already blessed me, and I know He's blessed you because we're here. Amen. We're not sick. We're not in the hospital. And we didn't have to go and see nobody's body that was in the funeral home. So the Lord's blessed us. As long as we have got our feet above the grass or even just stepping on the pavement, the Lord's blessed us. And it's nothing that we can do. It's nothing we can say that will stop His many blessings. But we can But we can stop His blessings on our lives if we don't watch. And if we never get to the point that we're ashamed of doing something for Him. And I know that I'm going to try to check a price and see what the price is going to be and everything. And I'm going to present it back to the church and see what the church wants to do about it. I know that this year, I believe it's in November. It'll be 50 years, right? Anniversary. And I know in September is when y'all moved up here in 76, right? But this is going to be the year of Jubilee. That's what Jubilee means. Jubilee means 50. And thank the Lord that the Lord has been here. The Lord has allowed these doors to stay open. Amen. And I had somebody tell me I don't know if Brother Bill was with me or not. Somebody was telling me, said that they was amazed that the church hasn't been closed. I said, well, the reason the church ain't been closed is because God's in it. And I know I've said this time and time again, but even over there in Revelations, in the book of Revelation, that's not one we'll be reading this morning. We'll be reading in 1 John chapter 1, but in the book of Revelation, you see in the third chapter there, and a lot of part of the verses there is speaking about the Laodicean church, where the Laodicean, what it means it's the people. The church is run by the people. The church itself is not run by no people. It is run by God, and we need to have individuals in the house of God that is willing to allow the Lord to work and use them to get His work done. And sometimes, you know, sometimes even up here, I've preached some messages that I didn't really want to preach. But you know, I need it just as bad, just probably worse than y'all do. But we know too that I said here in the last couple of weeks, I know I've said this year, that I believe it might have been last Sunday, that we're speaking about that over there in the book of Revelation chapter 3 is talking about where He's standing on the outside knocking, wanting to come in. Now I know what He's speaking about there. He's speaking about the individual heart. But as far as the individual heart, now we as people have gathered this morning, and we've gathered as one accord. And we know that He is in the midst. Why? Because each one of us has brought Him. So we are one accord. So what He wants to do, He wants to come into the house of God, and He wants to come in here where we're at. And He wants to touch our inner soul, our inner being, and our inner heart, that where we can go about being the true witness that He'd have us to be. And I said all along, and I said this, and I preached on this thought Thursday at the Preachers Fellowship over there in next to Greensboro Thursday, that I asked all the preachers there, I says, how many of you here want to get rid of the devil that's in the church. How many of you here wants the devil to be present in your services? Now, if you say that, well, hey, he's going to be present if a lost individual come in. I disagree with that. I know the lost individual can come into the house of God. Yes, they're not saved. They're not bringing Jesus in. But also, I don't believe that they can bring Satan into the services either. Because where God is at, where the Spirit of God is at, and where the Lord Jesus Christ is at, Satan is not going to be around. And if you've got 25 people in a church, and if you've got 24 of them there that is saved, and you've got one that's lost, then you still have the majority, because the ones that are saved, you have got 24, you have got 48 individuals there. That's using the Trinity as one. Two times 24 is what? 48. But it's more than that. You can go back to 4 times 24. That's 96. If God's in the midst, the devil is nowhere to be around. And I said this the other week, that these doors will always be open, where the people can come in and they can bring Jesus Christ in his church, and you can worship the living and true God. We don't have to come in here with a pooch mouth. We don't have to come in here with a frown on our face. We can come in here and knowing in whom we serve and knowing in where we're going. Now, if you don't know where you're going, then you need to check up your own life. You need to come to the altar. You need to ask Jesus Christ to save your soul. But if you know where you're going, if you know for a fact you're going to heaven, then you can lift your hand toward heaven and you can praise the Lord. Now, I'm all about praising the Lord. I'm all about worship in his spirit and his truth. Because if somebody is wretched and as low down as I was and lost and on the way to hell, and then somebody is nice and somebody that is good and somebody that is perfect and somebody that with love would come by and say, Donnie, as I went to the cross for you, all you have to do is come and accept me. But we make it so simple. I mean, he makes it so simple, but we make it so complicated. We say, well, it ain't all that simple. We have got to do something for it. Why? Because that's what we are taught in life today. Hey, I can go back. I may not even get to that, but that's all right. But I can go back myself and I can remember my grandmother saying on the farm that if they got down sick, her and her husband, if they got down sick, that they didn't have to go out here and they didn't have to knock on doors or call somebody and ask somebody to go up to see somebody to come down and help them to get their crop in, help them to get their vegetables in, the tomatoes in, and stuff that they had in the garden. That if it left it out there over the weekend or till it got better, that it would rot and go away and it wouldn't be no good to nobody. No, they didn't have to do that. Why? Because neighbors looked after neighbors. They looked after each other. And if they seen where the farmer that was living next door to them, they haven't went out there and gathered the crop and haven't seen the tractor move or even see the mules harnessed or anything, they knew something was wrong. So they got to inquiring on it. They got to asking. Come find out, they see. They're a little under the weather. They didn't care how little under the weather they were. They didn't care if they was just had a cold or if he just had a headache, a throbbing headache to where they couldn't get out there and let the wind beat them. The people went and helped other people. They helped their neighbors. What does God's word say? God's word says that we must worship Him. He is number one. And we must, the second commandment for us is number two for the New Testament church. And the first one is to love God with all our heart and all our soul and all our being. The second one that is that we must love our neighbor like we do ourselves. So what that means is we are supposed to put our neighbors first. I'm not talking about the neighbors across town. I'm talking about the neighbors right there in your community. We're supposed to go and check on them and see if they in need. See if they need something from the store. See if they need to go to the drugstore or they need to go to the grocery store to pick up some milk or bread or something like that. And if they're not able to go out, then we'll say, well, what do you need? Just let me know what you need, and I'll go and pick it up for you. But no, you know what it is? We done got too good. God has blessed us to the point that the only way you'll ever receive God's blessing is that you're going to have to do it. Hey, God can give back blessing everyone. God needs to get back to blessing the church too. You know how the welfare got started? You know how the welfare program got started? And all these the food stamps and how that got started? I can tell you exactly how it all got started. Because the church had laid the bloodstained banner down. And they would not go out and do what they were supposed to do. It's not up to the government to keep us up. It's not the government to feed me. It's not the government's place to pay my bills. What it is the church's place to do what they need to do to help people and help one another. But we have failed so much, then we said, well, no, we can't do that. You know, government won't mind doing it. Hey, that's fine. But then what happens? Then something else comes about. Something else comes up and says, well, I can't do that. That's the reason people today, that's the reason our young people today, they would not know how to survive today if they had to figure it out on their own how to survive and live. They don't know how. Hey, I know how about surviving. Hey, I went out there when I was a young teenager, and if we was walking, me and my brother and my cousin would be walking through the woods and everything, you know, and all of a sudden we'd get hungry or something like that. There's always blackbirds out there in the summertime. It's always some type of berry out there. But one time I couldn't find no blackberries or anything like that. But I seen a little piece of fruit that was on a tree. And it wasn't just one fruit. It looked like it was loaded with them. That I could just sit right there and I could eat them all day long. And there was kind of a yellowish orange. You know what it was, don't you? I took one. I picked that one persimmon off of that, and when I put it in my mouth,
that's what that was.
You know, I turned around and started going back home. Because it turned your mouth inside out. Was But we can do it if we've got the imaginations. But now the only imaginations that we got. I got it. They don't know anything about one of them playing cowboy and Indian. But here in the book of John, 1 John chapter 2, and I'm going to try to run through this if I can. I shouldn't got off on the other, but Lord allowed me to. So. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 25 through 28. 1 John chapter 2, starting with verse 25. And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you. But as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it has taught you, ye shall abide in him. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, ye may have confidence, and not be ashamed before him at his coming. In Romans 1:16 and verse 17, it says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. And as it is written, the just shall live by faith. We as Christians, the only way that we can be called Christians is because of His precious blood. That's the only reason we can be called Christians, is because of His precious blood and what He done there at Calvary that would bring salvation to each one of us. As a blood-bought, born-again believer, saved by the amazing grace of God, would we be ashamed if suddenly our Lord returns? Would we? Would we be ashamed at ourselves and what we're doing? While we stood in His divine, holy, sovereign, glorying presence, would we feel the fear of facing the things left undone, as well as facing the things we should not have done? Now is the time to make this proper adjustment. Am I ashamed about my salvation? No, I'm not ashamed of my salvation. I'm not ashamed of the testimony that I have through His salvation. Blessed, Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Faith in Christ as your personal redeemer. The only way that we can have a redeemer, the only way that we can have the righteousness of God, the only way that we can have anything at all, considering the blessings that He has for each and every one of us, is because of the blessed blood that He shed there at Calvary. And it was precious. It wasn't nothing so vile about it. You go ahead and you talk to people today, and they'll come in, and I've had people come in, and they'll come into your service and everything, and they'll hear you preach, and you'll bring up the blood, and they'll say, "Oh, no." Then they'll speak to you after church, and say, "Well, why do you have to bring up this bloody religion?" And I say, "Well, if I don't bring up the bloody religion, there's no salvation to any. Because it has to be bloody. Because there's life in the blood. And every drop and every speck of blood that He spilt that day or lost that day within His body, each little speck touched someone's life. And I believe that today, that I believe when you get up from your pew and you had the conviction of God on you, and you came down for one thing and one thing only, and that's to meet the Lord Jesus Christ, for Him to come and to save you, I think that He will save you before you even get to the altar. Why? Because He's already started applying His blood to your life. right that very moment. I believe that. Because see, God does not do nothing halfway. I know of a young boy right now. He's about 13 years old. He got saved when he was 7. You know what his pastor told me? This past week, he lives down on the other side of Greensboro. He told me, he says, I want you to pray for that little child there. I know he's 13 years old. He's a young man now. He got saved when he was 7. And he says something has been tugging at his heart for the last two and a half years. And he didn't know what it was. And he went and he talked to the pastor and he thought it was a possibility he didn't get saved. The pastor asked him all the questions and everything. The pastor says, no doubt, the boy got saved. He said, I believe it. And we prayed, and the next Sunday morning, that young 13-year-old boy come forth, bowed at the altar, weeping and crying. And he cried out to God, God, whatever you want me to do, here I am. I'm just 13 years old. I don't know what I can do for you. Said he got back up and he started back to his pew. He got halfway back to his pew and he turned around and he come back. And the pastor met him down there. He said, what'd you come back for? He said, Pastor, I just got to do it. Says he spoke to me once before about it. And I just thought he was just me wanting to try to do it. But when I got up and when I started back to my seat, he says, something spoke to my heart. And he said, Jeremy, next time when I speak to you, you may have to suffer a little bit. And he told him his name. You go up and you surrender. You come back up here. And here you surrender the call to preach that morning. He said the biggest load lifted off of his back, off of his shoulders. And that pastor told me, he says, here it is, you got a, right now he's 14 years old. Been saved since he's 7. Been called to preach since he's 13. And I've helped him and I've opened some doors for him. And he's preached at the church. Says right now, it looks like I don't know how he's gonna be able to do it, going to school and doing it too. He said, but they calling him from all the way from Georgia wanting him to come. And his parents told him, went to the pastor of the church and said, "Pastor, says, you know, I know this is what he wants to do, and he knows this is what God wants him to do." He said, "But you know, we don't have the money. And the vehicle we got is over 100,000 miles on it. Probably won't last but one trip if we go to Georgia." Pastor says, "Don't worry about that. Just tell him we're going. To next week, the church done it. They didn't have no bake sales. They didn't have no yard sales. They didn't have no sell no raffle tickets for somebody to win a gun or a motorcycle or a vehicle or something like that. They done it out of faith and the love that they had for the Lord Jesus Christ. The next week, there was a brand spanking new vehicle in the parking lot that one of the dealers in that area, he just gives it. And there was another individual that owned a business there. And he'd give his daddy open opportunity for him to come in for a new job. To leave the job that he was in, come there making more money. So don't tell me that God can't do it. But we've got to be willing to give of ourselves first. We have got to be willing to come to an old-fashioned altar. And we need to lay here and we need to allow our tear ducts to be open. We need to allow the stain of the tear to hit the fabric here, the where when it touches, when it leaves our eyes and it touches the fabric here, it will touch the heart of God. Then that is when you will see miracles happen. That's when you will see things happening for God. Why? Because you are put away yourself and you're doing everything you want to do and you mean you want to do it for Him. That's what I mean. I pray that's what my life is all about. I want to just please Him. I'm not here to please nobody else but the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And you should not be here either just to come to please me and just showing me up. You need to come to church and pleasing the Lord Jesus Christ. And then your life will be a whole lot better off. Remainder of the day. The weeks, the year ahead. Oh yes, we're gonna have roadblocks. We're gonna have troubles. We'll have temptations come our way. But we've got the one that can fight the temptation. We got the one that can move that roadblock. How heavy that roadblock may be, we have one can move it. And then we have one also can solve all the troubles that we have. Because we're doing it for Him. He don't want His work to slow up. So naturally, He going to say, "Come on in and just join us. Come on in and just join the fellowship. Don't be ashamed of it. Over here in Psalms 31, verse 1. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in thy righteousness. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Who do we put our trust in? Are you putting your trust in your bank account? Are you putting your trust in your family member? Are you putting your trust in any other thing? Are you putting your trust in maybe the CDs or what we have in the bank? Or are we putting our trust in that? Or are we putting our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ? That's where it needs to lie at. Right there with Him. If we will here as a church, as a body of people, and it's 14 of us here this morning. 14 of us. Two young adults are here. Two young people are here. And they're included within us. It's 14 of us here today. We don't need to look at what our bank account is. We don't need to look at how much we got in savings. We don't need to look at how much we got in checking. We don't need to look at that. We need to look at what we can do for Him. And if it takes more money, if it takes more in our bank account to get His work done and get what He wants us to do, then He will furnish the money for the bank account. But we have to do it His way. Amen. How do you do it His way? Put your faith in Him. Faith. It's a five-letter word. What is the middle letter there in faith? I have got to put all my faith and all my love and all of my joy and everything He's blessed with me, I have to put it in Him. I put everything in His hands and say, Lord, here it is, it's yours. You've just allowed me to use it for a while. But Lord, I just want to give it back to you. Would you take it? Would you take it? He's not going to take our livelihood away from us. He just asked us to surrender it to Him. He's just wants to know if we would be willing just to surrender to Him. And if we are willing just to surrender to Him, maybe something He wants done here at church, I don't know what it is, maybe something He wants here to done here at the church, but maybe it's one individual that can do it. But then it may take everybody. I don't know what it is. But see, I'll explain that tonight. Well, I'm about ready to say. But in thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. If I put all of my trust in Him, He will never let me get to the point in my Christian life that I will ever be ashamed of Him. I won't be ashamed of the gift that he given me through salvation. And I won't be ashamed of the service that he has given for me to do. And if we trust him that much, if you trust him that much, he'll do the same for you. He will never let you be ashamed of his salvation. He will never allow you to be ashamed of his service. He will never allow you to be ashamed of your love for the Savior. Within all of that, and then we will not be ashamed in saying no unto people when they asked us this and that, trying to keep us out of church. Because where is it going to be? What is it going to be like? If you got friends that keep you out of church on Sunday night, Wednesday night, Sunday school, I'm going to say something right here is going to bust every one of your bubbles. They're not your friend. They're not your friend. And you want me to tell you something, Mary? And you're not their friend either. We need to do what we can. I knew a couple the family would come from out of town and to see them, and they wouldn't come but maybe 3 or 4 times a year or something like that, but when they come, they would come and they would go around, they would see everybody else in the family and everything. I mean, they'd come up on Saturday and they'd see all the other people in the family and everything. This one individual that always come to their house on a Sunday about 1 o'clock. They'd stay there in the afternoon. About 4:30 in the afternoon, the gentleman, he would go back in his room, he'd get dressed. Then a few minutes later, his wife, she'd go back out and she'd get dressed. And they'd come back out. It'd be time for the lead to go to church. And they'd ask him, says, "You gonna go to church with us?" They said, "No." They said, "Well, you're welcome to stay here until we get back. So we're going to church." You know what the excuse was all the time? We didn't bring anything. We didn't bring anything to wear. And I asked him, I said, I don't believe I let somebody come in my house. Didn't have no clothes on. I mean, nudity. And he looked at me and just laughed. He said, "What they had on was just as fine as it could be." See, he wouldn't want to let it stop him. Why? because he was not ashamed of what Jesus had taught him. He wasn't ashamed of this book and what this book had taught him. He wasn't ashamed. Are you ashamed? My prayer is that each one of you that are here will start in living for the Lord a little further. That's including me. I know we can all do it. Because none of us are living exactly the way we should for the Lord. I have some things that I want to share with you tonight. I know that maybe Sister Nancy, you won't be here, but I'll go by and share some of them with you and let you know what we're going to do. But I would love it. You know what? Say this much. Give it a try for 30 days. Get up and come into Sunday school, preaching Sunday night and Wednesday night, unless you have the work you've done. Give it a try for 30 days. That's not 4 weeks. That's not the 12 days. And it ain't 2, 4, no more by 6 hours a week that you can give to God. And I promise you that He will bless you. And invite somebody else. I know you have, and I know we've always went back and we've invited the same ones. But the ones that you have invited to come before, it seems like that they just don't want to come. What we need to do is, and I'm going to try, see if I can find one. What we'll do is, we'll bring a little box or something. I might have a little wooden box, but I ain't got that. We'll buy a box. Just bring the name. Whatever you want to be prayed for, just bring your name. Just write it down on a piece of paper. And you can put your name, the address on it. And when you come in, you stick the name in that box. And every night we'll have prayer. We'll pray with that box. But I'm praying that 2015 is going to be a better year. I'm looking for things to happen. I'm looking for people to get saved. I'm looking for the me and Bill having to get up there and clean out the baptistry and check all that out and fill a tank up out of the water and let me see if I can try to get them down the steps. I don't know if I can or not. If we can't, I might just have to do something else. Just have to go out here and get, 275-gallon oil drum and have somebody cut it in half and put it on wheels, you might go outside in that car. Father, we thank you and we love you.